Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create a better life through complete connection to yourself, to others, and the world around you. Today, we're going to be talking about a specific aspect of money in relationships, control and oppression, money being used for control or oppression inside of relationships. And this is something that we discuss in the book Validation, Sabotage, and Freedom, which is a study of the nature and effect of money. It's not a how to get rich book, although I suppose there are some aspects of that in there. But it's a book about how money is affected and reflected in your life, the nature and effect of it for the individual, for relationships, and for the world. And it's a fascinating book. You'll have a very hard time deciding if I'm for it or against it, because these are things you have to kind of decide for yourself. It's nothing is ever good or bad. It's what you do with it. It's an extension of yourself. And because money is an extension of yourself, sometimes it can be used in negative ways. Before we get into it, real quick, if you have thoughts, questions, ideas, go on over to CatherineColleen.com, join the newsletter, the Friday, once a week, short and to the point newsletter full of all awesome resources for your journey. And then you can just write me back right there. Let me know what's going on in your world. So let's talk about money. So even in what seems like a happy relationship, money can be a mechanism of control or a mechanism of oppression. Now, there are many individuals who actively prefer to give up having anything to do with the finances, and they're perfectly happy to trust their partner completely. We're not talking about them. What we're talking about is when one partner actively convinces the other partner that they are incapable, assumes absolute control of all the accounts, does not share information or planning with the other in any way, and ultimately uses that control to oppress the other partner. It happens, and it happens a lot more than you would think it would. So let's talk about how this looks. So it starts with phrases like, you're no good with money. It starts when your partner convinces you that you're no good with money. And they will point out that check you bounced 10 years ago or remind you of some societal norm that people of your gender can't manage money or some cultural rule that they should be the one in charge. Eventually, you're tired, you're feeling lesser, you drop the subject altogether and just leave it to them, fine. That's step one. Step two of this type of methodology, or I don't know, should we call it a pathology? Maybe. Is only I can have access to the money. See, once your partner controls the money, then they have access to the passwords. They know where all the accounts are. And if you try to get involved again, just wanting to know the state of things, you meet resistance. If this happens, it's a huge red flag. Meeting that resistance at wanting to know the state of things. See, at first, it's a resistance out of convenience. They just don't have time to show you everything. And then that devolves to wondering why you care so much. And then reminding you that it was you that wanted them to take over. Now, if your partner resists sharing your financial information with you, that's one of the biggest red flags right there. Huge red flag, major, major problem. See, transparency and honesty is key in any relationship, romantic or otherwise, it doesn't matter. Transparency and honesty. That's the basis of trust. not blind faith. The basis of trust is, let's go back over that again. The basis of trust is not blind faith and being kept in the dark and being okay with it. The basis of trust is transparency and honesty. That both partners are willing to have everything, absolutely everything, out in the open. That's the basis of trust. That nothing is hidden. That nobody cares to hide anything. Why would they? Now, if they're hiding the finances, there's a reason. That reason could be massive debt. That reason could be gambling losses, or simply that they just don't want you to know. Maybe they have accounts they don't want you to know about. So what do they do next? The next step, because I've seen this process so many times, I've got it down pat. Step three, here's an allowance. To get you off their back, they will offer you an allowance. Here's some money that you can control. It's like telling your toddler that they are entirely in charge of their dessert choice. So you don't really care what they choose, right? But it makes them feel like they're in charge of something. So the allowance makes you feel like you have some level of control. I mean, after all, you can do whatever you want with your allowance, right? So you remember when you were a teenager? Maybe you got an allowance when you were a teenager from your parents. Maybe they gave you a little bit of money each week. Why did they do that? Why did your parents give you an allowance when you were a teenager? I'll tell you why. Because you were looking for independence and you were looking for control, and your parents weren't ready to give it to you yet. They weren't ready to give you independence and control yet. So what they gave you was an allowance. You didn't have independence or control back then when you were a teenager, and you don't have it now. So what happens when you recognize that? The next step in this process is what I call do what I say or I'll take the money away. So to borrow a harsh but I think pretty accurate analogy, a mouse approaches a mouse trap, right? And he doesn't know what it does. He only knows that there is cheese and that the cheese is just sitting there for the taking. And the mouse doesn't understand why the cheese is free, so he just keeps coming back to enjoy the cheese. And all the while, the one in charge of the trap is prepared to snap the mouse's neck at any moment. All right, I did warn you it was a pretty harsh analogy. But it's true. The one who has absolute control over the money can take it away at any moment for any reason. So soon enough, just like in the good old teenage days, if you displease them, they take away your allowance. So do you see how this genius mechanism of control was put into place? Good. Now you can avoid it. Now, just because you're clueless about your finances and your partner handles everything does not mean that they're going to turn into a control freak and start oppressing you. According to a 2019 survey by PolicyGenius.com, 16% of respondents, quote, did not know core financial facts, including salary, debts, assets, credit scores, etc., about their partner. Only 43% of couples manage their finances together. Wow. So that means 57% of couples do not manage their finances together. So there are plenty of people who have one spouse manage the money primarily, while the other can have access and awareness anytime they like. They may choose to, they may not. 5% of the people surveyed would like to leave their partner but feel they cannot afford to do so. Wow. Now there is your percent of persons under financial control and depression, in my opinion. Financial control and depression includes a great deal of secrecy. So here's some interesting stats. According to that same survey, 12 to 13% of people, of partners, have secret accounts or secret credit cards. 9% have a secret retirement account. And 6% have a secret will. Wow. Perhaps most interestingly, 7% of all the people surveyed have a secret life insurance policy that they've taken out on their partner. Watch your back and keep your finances open and transparent. The lesson here is that honesty, full, absolute, I would even say brutal honesty and transparency is always the best policy in every aspect of a partnership and every aspect of a relationship with yourself, right? It's what it comes down to, truth, honesty, transparency, regardless of whether it's pleasant or unpleasant. Honesty and transparency, always. So we'll continue our discussions of money in relationships a few episodes from now. If you have thoughts, questions, ideas, experiences you want to share, just join the newsletter at katherinecolleen.com. Join what's called the Weekly Journey. Join that and write me back. Let me know what you think. What's going on in your world? If you have ideas that would be useful for others, let me know. If you are looking for advice on a particular thing, I will do my best. Whatever can help you with your journey, that's what I'm here to offer. Thank you for joining me this time. And as always, I'm wishing you, Purna Asati, complete connection.